Good morning. Once again, a blessing to be standing here and having an opportunity to meditate on the Lord's Word. You know, when we talk about preaching, preaching is generally a subject of number of jokes. You know, so people say that preaching is an art of talking in someone else's sleep. No. There is also a saying in one of the church bulletins. It said, what time do you start your service? You start sharp at 9:30 and end dull at 11:30. That's what happens because of the sermon. But there are some good people who put the sermon time to good use. You know, in around 1974, there was a person called, let me get his name right, Art Fry. Okay. Now this person was, a member in the North Presbyterian Church in Minnesota, USA, and he was a scientist at the 3M company. You know, and he was finding it very difficult to concentrate on the sermon, and at the same time he was troubled with the, issue of having to mark up hymn books. He don't know how to mark up the hymn books, and so he was without messing it up. So he was feeling. So he decided to use the sermon time to think up of a solution. And some of you know what the solution is. The solution is the post-it pads which are so famous and so liberally used today, where you can mark up, something without making it dirty. You know, so so you see, there are good points to boring sermons. You know, you can always use the time effectively for the greater benefit of the mankind and the world. So if any of you doze off today, I wouldn't mind. I know that, okay, it is for an invention, it is for a good cause. So. All right. Okay. You know, those of you who have visited our home, you have to correct it. I'm excused, okay. Would have seen Leslie's terrace garden, on top of the house. There's a pretty good terrace garden out there. And among other plants, there are some fruit trees, And so obviously when there are fruit trees, there are squirrels. Squirrels will come in, and it is very, very fascinating to see Leslie conversing with these squirrels, Watch out, I'm watching you. And of course the squirrels look up at her, then hide, and then of course they will come back and do their job. But I admire the squirrels for one thing. They use what God has given them to their benefit. They have this nice teeth and nice paws, which they use. Leslie tries to cover up the tree so that it doesn't, the squirrels doesn't get to the fruits and all that, but they manage. So they use the God-given, human body parts to sustain, for their sustenance. They use it so very well. So I wanted to actually use this morning to reflect on couple of body organs that God has given to us, and to see whether we are using, how well we are using them. Okay? So that's what we will try and do this morning. So, and those of you who have listened to my previous sermons know that I speak on servant leadership. So the topic is continuing to be servant leadership, but in servant leadership, one of the attributes of servant leadership called listening. So let's start with an exercise. Okay, so I want you to all to be sporting and participate. So I'm going to give you some statistics, and I'll ask you one question. You will need to figure out what the answer is. Okay, so please pick up a pen, and if you have a paper, it's okay. Otherwise, Neville will hand over a piece of paper to you. Just note down the statistics as it comes along, and see if you can figure out the answer to this problem. Want a pen? Somebody wants a pen? I have two. I come prepared. I said God, we should use what God has given us, right? Alright, so I'm going to read out a statement, and it's got a bit of numbers here and there, so pay careful attention, and there will be a question after that statement, okay? Those of you who already know the answer, keep it to yourself, do not share it with others, okay? So this is the statement. You are a bus driver, you drive 3 kilometers to the south and then 4 kilometers to the east. You pick up 9 passengers, then you drive 2 kilometers to the north and then 7 kilometers to the west. Then you drop off 5 passengers. Okay? You want me to repeat the statement?
Yeah.
You are a bus driver, you drive 3 kilometers to the south and then 4 kilometers to the east. You pick up 9 passengers. Then you drive 2 kilometers to the north and then 7 kilometers to the west. Then you drop off 5 passengers. Okay? The question is, what is the age of the bus driver?
27.
It depends on?
You are the bus driver. Because me, I will be 19.
Ah, all right. Very good. Okay.
My answer too.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. So honestly, how many of you didn't get the answer? All right. And I didn't get the answer first time. Then I went through this. It is because what happens is there are so many statistics in it, and we get lost in that statistics. And we miss out the key word, which is repeated 5 times in the statement, right? You are the bus driver. You drive the bus 3 kilometers to the south. You pick up 9 passengers. You drive to the east. You drop 5 passengers. You know, and this term "you" is used almost 5 times in that statement, but a lot of people miss it. A lot of us miss it because it is, you know, we pay attention to the other statistics which come along, and we expect some question which is around that statistics.
Now,
that's a trainer trick. That's a trainer trick. If you don't build up that, it is lost. Okay. So, now, of course, what I wanted to say was listening is difficult. And I'm sure all the wives here will definitely say amen to that, especially with regard to their husbands. Right? Listening is a difficult art. It's not easy for us to practice because of various reasons. Now, but what I want to bring out here this morning is the fact that listening is a key attribute to being a servant leader. Actually, it is true for any leadership, but all the more so for the concept that we talk about here as servant leadership. You know, it is very, very important for servant leadership. Now, in the last message I spoke here, which was on February last Sunday, we saw that to be a true servant leader, we need to be interested, we need to be able to invest in others to such an extent that others become wealthier, wiser, healthier, and more famous than ourselves. So that's the type of thing that we need to do to be servant leaders, to be good servant leaders. Now, if you really want to help others, can you really do it without listening? Without listening and understanding their needs is the question that I want us to keep in mind today. You know, so if we really want to be true servant leaders, and if we want to really do good to others, the prerequisite for doing good to others is obviously the need for us to be able to listen to them carefully and understand what is their needs. That then we can act on it. If we are not able to do that first part, then we are not able to meet their needs. Now, last week I had the privilege of attending a meeting with some leaders who are concerned about corruption in church and Christian organizations. Pastor Ashish was there with me during this meeting, and we discussed what is the problem, why is it there, and what is the root cause of all this. And of course, the situation is pretty bad, that there are people who clamor for power, for position, for property, even within Christian churches. I'm sure some of us know it, especially some of us coming from the conventional. I can see Uncle and Auntie nodding their head. We can see in the conventional churches, especially the property of the church becomes such a big issue. So the position of a synod secretary or something becomes so powerful and so coveted that people don't mind doing anything to gain that position. Right? I mean, the church elections are sometimes worse than the general elections that happen. The politics that happens in the church because of its property and things like that. And you know, and one of the things that we agreed as a team was that one of the root causes of this is that the leaders of today's church and Christian organization do not understand nor practice servant leadership. If they really are able to understand that a leader is to be a servant and thereby serve others rather than being served, this problem would be much, much, much lesser. So one of the things that we are trying to do is see how we can reach this message to the leaders of today as well as tomorrow. So we have formed a sort of an action network which will take this forward and see how we can reach out this message to the people, so at least in future the corruption and power hunger, the hunger for power in the church and Christian organizations can be reduced. Now, my the assessment of the situation is this, that part of this happens because leaders who want to be considered themselves as VIPs typically consider themselves, they confess that as we are accountable. But then they say, they believe in what is called as one-way accountability. They believe that the congregation should be accountable to them, and I am accountable to the bishop, and maybe to God himself. Talking about accountability to God, if someone invite me for a function in their home and they say, okay, bring Leslie along, I always am careful. I say, look, Leslie takes her orders directly from God, so I can't promise that I will bring her along, but I'll pray about it, so that God speaks to her and she comes with me, for the function. So there are a lot of people who believe, I'm not saying Leslie is one of them, by the way, but thank you. There are a lot of people who believe that their accountability is not lower down, but their accountability is only from, one way up. So this is called the one-way accountability. Now this is a basic problem, and this is not servant leadership. Servant leadership is about having a two-way accountability. We being accountable to the people who we serve or whom we lead. We being accountable to the congregation equally as they are accountable to us. So it's not a one-way accountability that the Bible teaches us. It's not to say that, look, the Bible says that, yourself, submit yourself to each other, in the fear of Christ. So it is actually submission to one another. It is a two-way accountability. And the only way of making two-way accountability practical is to be able to listen to the feedback which comes from down below. Most of the corporates have this 360-degree appraisal and things like that. And the reason is only this, that they want to make sure that there is feedback. There is and the leaders listen to the feedback which is coming from down below, it's difficult for us to seek feedback from our children, for example, or for teachers to seek feedback from their students and things like that. But that's what Christianity teaches us, to be accountable both ways. And the beginning of this accountability is in the ability to listen carefully to the feedback which comes from others. Now, the problem is, if we don't listen, then we automatically end up sending messages. We become impatient, and we automatically send out messages which says that, I don't care about you. I don't have time for you. You're stupid. You're wasting my time. Those are the types of messages which the other people end up getting if you don't exhibit this ability to, you know, to listen. I mean, of course, there are ways of listening. I'm not getting into those. I'm just trying to say that this is absolutely essential for us to be able to develop this attribute, so that, you know, we are in a position to understand what others want from us and thereby meet their needs. And that is servant leadership, as I described in my last sermon here. We need to be able to understand what is the needs of the people whom we serve and serve it. Serve them so that their needs can be met. And if that cannot be met, then we have a problem in our hands. And then the power and authority model leaders, as typically it will happen. So we got to be careful, and we got to be able to consciously start practicing this good attribute of listening. Now, especially servant leaders, right? Servant leaders need to be good in communication and decision making skills. We must reinforce the important skill of listening, so that and by making a deep commitment to listening, because we ultimately are called to articulate, to understand, and to serve the collective will of a group. That is what a leader is. A leader is not someone who speaks and the others listen. A leader is someone who is supposed to understand and express the needs of a group appropriately and serve and meet those needs. And that's where, you know, the need for listening comes in. Well, so let's see what happens when we listen first, okay? Let's turn to our Bibles. Open the book of Habakkuk. Not always well read, but it's in the Old Testament, by the way. And somewhere closer to the New Testament, between Nahum and Zechariah, I think. Okay? All right. Now, Habakkuk is a prophet who decided that he is going to question God. He was like many of us here, you know, like I said last week, we got together to understand why is there corruption in the church. So Habakkuk was such a person. He was really, really very distressed with the fact that there is so much evil out in the society, and he thought God is not doing anything about it. He said, and so he decided to ask God, God, why are you silent? Why are you not doing anything? When there are people, evil things, evil things which are happening around, why are you not doing anything? So there's a short, if you browse Habakkuk, there is a short interaction, a question answer session between Habakkuk and God. Habakkuk answers questions, God answers, and then again Habakkuk questions. And Habakkuk thinks that he is smart in questioning. Okay? So he now, at the beginning of, but in chapter 2, at the beginning, he decides to do something. So if you could read, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. Can somebody read it?
I will stand at my watch and station myself on the rampart. I will look to see what you will say to me and what answer I will give to this country.
Right. The Message Bible puts it like this: what's God going to say to my questions? I am braced for the worst. I will wait and listen to what he has to say about my complaints. So, after questioning, Habakkuk decides that now it is time for him to wait and listen. And that is exactly what he does. And you see what happens when he waits and listens to God. If you, of course, God speaks. And after God speaks, you see what happens in chapter 3. In chapter 3, let us read chapter 3, 17 to 19.
Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine,
though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights.
Right. So, this is a profound statement that Habakkuk is making, and I'm sure those of us who have gone through difficult situations especially will, you know, can identify ourselves with this statement, no? So, let's read it again. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the high. Even if I don't have food, even if there is nothing to drink, even if there is no meat to eat, even if there is no property for me, yet I will rejoice in my Lord. I will be joyful and shout out to my Lord. What a transformation it is. You see the beginning of Habakkuk. How does it start? God, why on earth are you not doing anything? Don't you see what is happening here? Don't you see the evil people flourishing? Don't you see people who do evil are increasing? Why are you not doing anything? And see how he ends his book. He says, it doesn't matter. What I don't have doesn't matter. But I will rejoice in the Lord. Now how did this transformation come along? My advice is this. This transformation happened only because Habakkuk decided to wait and listen, as he said at the beginning of chapter 2. He questioned and then he said, okay, now I will wait and listen. And when he listened, he changes his views. His entire outlook towards God changes. I want us to ask ourselves this morning. We may have questioned God. We may have questioned God. But the question is, have we stopped and have we taken time to listen to God so that we can fall in this category which says, yet, blah, 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 yet I will rejoice in my Lord. And this will come only if we are able to listen. If we are able to listen. Let's turn to Job, the book of Job. I'm sure all of us know this book, right? This is very... commonly referred to book, and so it won't seem so unfamiliar. Now, what happens in the book of Job is, for the first 37 chapters, it's a long, long book. The first 37 chapters, no one gives a chance to God. Right? People speak. Job speaks to God. Job's friends come and say a lot of things. Hey, this is what you should have done. This is why it is happening. You know, you must understand. You have sinned. Whatever. The first 37 chapters is all about others thinking about what God is thinking, what God is doing, why God is not doing certain things. Right? But then, after all that time, in chapter 38, Job takes a breather. Says, okay, I've spoken enough now. Right? Now let me hear you. And then of course God speaks. And when God speaks, he doesn't answer what Job asked, but he actually says what he is, who he is, what he did. Where were you when I did this? Who created this? Who created the mountains? Who curtailed the waves of the sea? So he asked, where were you? I am the one who did all this. So God uses that short period, short time of 38 to 41 to explain to Job. And mercifully, Job listens. And when Job listens, what happens? Let's read Job's last chapter, 42, 2 to 6, 2 to 5.
I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself, and repent in dust and ashes.
So, here is the turnaround of Job. He says, you know, now I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things that I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. And this transformation again happens because Job is forced to sort of listen. Because God says, now, you have spoken enough. Shut up and listen to me. Right? And then of course God goes through his speech. And then Job, once he listens to God, he understands that there is no plan which is beyond God. Everything happens according to his plan. And he says, it is too wonderful for me to understand this. But one thing I understand after listening to you, that you are great. You are mighty. You are mighty. So let's ask ourselves, are we in that position where we can listen to God? Right? Now, listening to God is one part of listening, but for a leader, that is not it. Okay? We obviously, we have a relationship which is 360 degrees. It is not just we and God, but God, we and us, others too. So let's see what happens when we don't listen to others. Okay? Let's go back to the story of Rehoboam. You know who is Rehoboam? Right? He was Solomon's son, actually, right? He took over the kingdom after Solomon died. Now, so his story is told in 1 Kings 12 as well as in 2 Chronicles 10. Right? 1 Kings 12 and 2 Chronicles 10 chapter. At the beginning of those chapters is where his story is told. So now, he does this. What does he do? The people, when people know that Rehoboam is going to take over, the people come and tell him that, hey, look, king, new king, praise be to you, but we are burdened. There is a lot of burden which has been put on us by your father and your grandfather, and we are unable to bear it. It is becoming unbearable. It is becoming, you know, increasing every day. So we want a relief. We want relief. Please reduce the burden on us. Right? And Rehoboam, of course, goes back, consults with some people. Some people give him some advice, good advice, and some others give him bad advice. And then he decides to take the bad advice, and he goes and says that, look, if my father has done this, I will do double of that to you. And he says, look, I'm going to increase your burden. I'm going to increase your taxes onto you. Now, so what is happening here is people are coming with their problems to the king. And the king is saying, I don't care. I want to use my power which has been given to me by inheritance. This is a kingdom which is given to me by inheritance. And I shall rule over it by my might. By the authority that has been given to me. That is his clear message. And you see what happens in 1 Kings 12:16. Let's read 1 Kings 12:16. Then it'll tell us what happens when this happens.
When all Israel saw that the king refused to listen to them, they answered the king, what share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tents, O Israel, look after your own house, O David. So the Israelites went home.
Yeah. So this is where the first division of the kingdom takes place. And then you know, if you go through the book of Kings or Chronicles, you know the history of all that infighting between them and all that stuff. So the first division of the kingdom of God's chosen people happens because of an act of a king who was unwilling to listen to the people, a leader who did not listen to his people. So you see, What listening does, we have seen, it can bring in transformation, and what not listening does, it does definitely brings in downfall, especially for leaders. And we know the history of Israel after this, and we know many leaders who did not listen and things like that. But fortunately for us, Jesus took a different approach. Jesus listened to people. Jesus listened to them, understood what their need is. Actually, he went beyond what was said. He listened to what was not said, and he was able to thereby meet the people's needs. So even before ministering to anyone, Jesus first listened to them and listened to their needs. And then he ministered to them. And Jesus was God. And if God can do this, can we make an attempt to do this, is the question that I want us to ask. You know, if we look at Jesus, for example, how does he start his ministry? Right at that incident in Luke chapter 2, end of Luke chapter 2, where he is left behind in the temple, and the parents go, they find him missing. They come back, and where do they find him? Where do they find him? They find him in the temple, and the Bible says they find him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and questioning them. Actually, both the King James Version and the NIV use the same term, listening and questioning. So he was there listening to the word of God and not bothered about whether their parents have gone or not, but he was there sitting there, and he was only 12 years old at that time. And of course, that is the time when he makes this profound statement, "Why did you look for me? Did you know that I was to be about my Father's business?" The New King James Version puts it as Father's business. NIV puts it as, "Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" But Jesus is making his mission in this world clear at that point in time. Why am I here? I am here to fulfill my Father's business. And I can do that only when I listen to what is there in the, and that's why you will see as he went along, when Satan tempted him, he counters it by the word, by biblical, by quoting scripture, and so many times he quotes scripture to, and that was possible only because he chose to listen and question the teachers, so that it was a two-way application, you know. Of course. And Jesus tells us to do this, not once, but multiple times. He says, "Those who have ears, let him hear." Okay. Of course, he uses masculine gender here, and I'm sure this is one place where the women will agree that masculine gender is the right gender here. Right? Jesus says, "Let him who have ears, let him hear." You know, so right. There are multiple places where people say, "Oh, they meant it only, you know, in the general sense." But this place, and for women, will say, "Oh yes, he meant men." But you know, and he repeats it so many times. Actually, I think if you go through the Bible, in Revelation, he repeats it seven times for all the seven churches. But even before the Revelation, in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, I'll post the references in the website. But there are plenty of places where he uses this term after his preaching. So, guys, listen. You have been given ears. Listen. And you know, I'm sure most of you would have given, he heard this cliche that we have only one mouth and two ears because God wants us to listen more and speak less, right? But not many of us. And 1 James 1:19 says this very clearly. You know, be slow to speak, but quick to listen. You know, spend more time in listening, but slow in speaking and slow in getting angry and things like that. So, the need for us to be able to listen is there so very glaringly in the Bible. And Proverbs, for example, I think in almost as many as 10 to 12 places in Proverbs, Solomon's wisdom comes along. He connects wisdom with listening. You know, those of them who do not listen are fools, and those who listen are wise. And he brings in this multiple times in the one. So, well, we know that if you look at the Bible, and it is multiple times asked for us to be listen to just keep quiet and listen, and that's, like I said, to summarize it, that's what servant leadership asks us to do: listen to the people, understand their needs, and thereby serve them, so that you truly become a servant leader. So let me close by reminding what Jesus said when he explained the parable of the sower or the parable of the four soils as it is known, right? Maybe we can just, it is there in Matthew 13, 10 to 23 and Mark 4, 10 to 25 and also in Luke 8, 9 to 15. So you can pick up one of them. But you know the four soils in which the seed falls, and which is the soil in which it flourishes. Is he explains it later, the word will flourish in a mind which listens to the word, absorbs it, preserves it. He says this is how he explains that parable of the sower or parable of the four soils as it is called, right? And so this morning, let's consider this. What kind of listener are we? What kind of listener are we? Do we listen enough? Do we listen enough to others and to God so that we understand the need of others? We understand what God is telling us and we are able to be the mediator that God wants us to be. Remember the story of the squirrels, right? Do we use the ears and the mind that God has given to us to do his business, to do what he has asked us to do, to go and make disciples of others, to meet the needs of others, to serve, to lead, to be a servant leader, to be a servant leader? That's what I want us to ask this morning. And let us remember what Jesus said: those who have ears, let him hear, let him or her hear. So let's try applying this to the call that he has given to us. Let's turn to our Bibles and read together Matthew 20, 25 to 28. Let's remember, before we read this, let's remember what Jesus says. Let those who have ears, let them hear. Then let us hear this call that Jesus is giving to us. Shall we all stand and read this together in closing? Matthew 20, 25 to 28. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for men." Shall we close our eyes and look up to the Lord in prayer? Lord, we want to thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We bless you for speaking to us, Lord, and asking us to listen. Asking us to listen, Lord. And Lord, we know that it is a difficult task, but we know that you practiced it. And we know that you have told us that if you have done it, we can do it too, as long as we believe in you and we believe that you are from the Father and are going to the Father. Lord, we thank you and praise you. We trust in that promise, Lord. And we know, Lord, that if we try hard, we can listen. We can listen to you. We can listen to the people around us, so that we can understand their needs and we can guide them to where their needs can be met through you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for coming to this world as somebody who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for us, for all of us who are standing here. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you, O Lord. We bless you. We adore you. Lord, we pray that the words that has come to us this morning will stay with us, will flourish in us, will be preserved in us. And what we have heard, we would have listened and we will put it into action, Lord, even during the other days of the week. Lord, we love you, we adore you, we bless you, we glorify you. Lord, we ask that you make each one of us into servant leaders who would listen and thereby meet the needs of others. We glorify you, O Lord. We glorify you. We love you. In Jesus' precious name we pray and ask. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.